Thanks for listening to the GCC Sermon Podcast. We'd love to meet you for worship on Sundays at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Visit georgetownchristian.org for more info. Hey, Georgetown, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Should be easy to find right as you open there. When I was probably 8-ish years old, I had my first opportunity to get out into the neighborhood and do something outside of my own home to attempt to earn some money because all those trips into the gas station or the grocery store with mom and dad made me want to spend some money, and I had none. So enter my opportunity. We lived in a neighborhood, it didn't have sidewalks, but it did have sort of paved roads, and it had these like gutters or curbs that really weren't a curb. They're supposed to be where the water went through the neighborhood, and some areas were lower than others. They didn't drain too well. Well, I had a solution. I'd seen one of our neighbors spraying those gutters out with a hose, and I thought, I've got a tool for this. So I went knocking on doors, asking if I could please clean your gutters for a quarter. And wouldn't you know it, someone took me up, because for a quarter, I cleaned like 150 feet of gutter in front of their house. Well, as you can imagine, by the end of that gutter, I am feeling what I'm guessing most of us feel at the end of a work week on a Friday, or even just thinking about going to work tomorrow on a Monday. My back wasn't hurting because I was really young, but I had sweat a lot. I could look back and see all that I had done, so I was kind of proud. There was a sense of ownership there. And I was really happy that I had some money I could spend. I'm guessing you guys can relate. When it's payday, man, at least it's over and I got paid now. The idea of work isn't always the most exciting thing for a Christian. But in the very beginning of Scripture, we see that God is working. He's creating heavens and earth. You can read in Genesis chapter 2 the recounting of this. I want you guys to say work when I get to the word. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So God produced all of creation, and then he calls us the very good part or the best part of his work. Now God made us. We just see in verse 27, right before that, we see that God made us in his image. So we're image bearers. Now, what does it mean to be an image bearer of God? You don't think you look like God. I don't think I look like God. As image bearers, to clear up anything cloudy there, let's simply think of it as someone who's attempting to reflect God's good character. Someone who's attempting to embody the virtues that we see present in God. Someone who, as we interact with other, we reveal God's values through our actions and through our words and through our attitudes. Or if we don't reveal them, in some cases we betray them. But we're image bearers, so we show what it looks like to be hardworking like God. Or lazy, which is not like God. So being made in the image of God means we work just like him. In the first home given ever to man, the Lord gave him work to do. Now consider this. We're still here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The earth is still perfect. Eden is still wonderful. And what do we find given to man? We find work. Work wasn't a thing that happened as a result of the fall, as a consequence for sin. Work existed before the fall. Here's our stated job description in Genesis chapter 1. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And here's your word, Georgetown, it's dominion. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So dominion might be said to be like a responsible rule. Ruling responsibly. It's providing care for whatever you're given responsibility over. You have dominion over your yard, over your house, over your car. You rule over it in a way that ensures that it can maintain its reliability. Its function remains intact. It does what it's designed to do. Jim had dominion over his yard. He said, man, I always hated the view from my front porch, looking through my front yard, and it's because of this mangy tree. It produces a few leaves, not much, and it's just a disaster. So he decides he's going to have it taken care of. He calls the arborist. He says, come on in and take my tree down. He takes it down, and there's a stump left. And Jim's like, well, can you do the stump? No, I'm not the stump guy. You got to call a stump guy. So he calls the stump guy. Stump guy comes in, removes the stump. The view from his yard, still not so hot, because now there's a big crater. And guess what stump guy says? No, that ain't me. That's landscaper guy. So he calls the landscaper guy, and by this time in the month, he has to go on a trip he's already planned. He's on his way to the airport. He calls the landscaper, who finally says he'll show up. So while he's gone, he says, what do you want me to do? He's like, I don't know, make it look pretty. He goes away, he comes back home, and guess what's in the hole? It's a... So there's evidence here that you all are aware of what comes along with this dominion, this responsibility for us to rule and to care for what we're given. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But just like Jim is entrusted and he's given this yard to have dominion over, and just like he's entrusted some of that dominion to a contractor or two, you and I are now entrusted to subdue, to rule over, to fill this earth and to multiply all over it. So whether it's your yard or maybe it's your garden, maybe it's your family room, your living room, your closet, you have responsibility to rule over it with care. Now, as we carry that out, our work, our dominion, as we carry out that work, we are bearing the image of God to a world who may know him, may not know him. So it really matters then the manner in which we move forward in our mandate, which is dominion. So in this season, the fall time of the year, you are probably coming home from your job. And you're probably thinking, man, all this rain, this week you're thinking, all this rain is coming, I got to get my gutters cleared out, no more leaves in there. I might as well get the leaves out from the landscape and get the leaves out of the yard, gather them all up. I'm going to take the sticks out of the yard, we're going to have a nice bonfire later after the rain is gone. You may be the kind of person who's gone to an apple orchard, you might have found a pumpkin, whatever the harvest means for your family. Maybe you're making some pies. Personally, I'm looking forward to turkey and testimonies where I'm going to enjoy a pie or two. I hope that you've made plans that's in 2 weeks, to make sure you place yourself in that meeting with this body to witness and to bear witness to you yourself, share what God has done in your life, how he's moved in your life, what he's shown you about his character. If you have any questions about that, I'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions about the setup or the food, you can see Betty, Robin, or Susan. Make sure you're signed up. How we carry out our work is a reflection of our Creator, and that's for better or for worse. Paul wrote this, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. So as image bearers, the Lord has given us this clear job description, crystal clear, for our time here on earth. Genesis 2:15, a repeat of it. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Now note from this verse, the Lord has put us here to manage the earth. It's not ours, but the work of managing it is ours. And in our working, we're not cursed by having to work. That was a part of reality and creation and all that God said was good. Before the curse, there was work. We found God working. Work is a blessing. Work is not a curse. Georgetown, I want you to say it with me. Work is a blessing. 1, 2, 3. Work is a blessing. The man goes into a pet shop to buy a parrot. The shop owner points to 3 identical looking parrots on a perch. And the man says, well, how much for the parrot on the left? Well, it's $500. He was not ready for how much parrots cost. He was ready for how much parrots cost, but not these parrots. And he says, why are they so expensive? Well, you see this one on the left, he can operate a computer. That's remarkable. Now, how about the next one, this parrot in the middle? Well, he's $1,000. Are you kidding? What does he do? Well, he can work a computer and he can program a computer. What about this last parrot on the left here? How much is he? He's a $5,000 parrot. And this guy's thinking, holy smokes, what? Does he know like multiple languages and build homes or something? He says, no, this parrot over here, I've never actually seen him work, but the other two parrots, they call him boss. So in spite of how hard or not hard you may believe your boss is working or not working, work is a blessing. Work is an opportunity to bear the image of God to the world, to display the full measure of his character. Paul says, do whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord's work is creative and purposeful. Isaiah describes the Lord this way. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. God is creative in his work. We exist in a place and as a people that are the result of his work, his creative work. So just like the Lord, our work then will be creative and purposeful. When we create purposefully, we're reflecting the image of God to the world. We're bearing his image. As Jeff said, we are his representative to the world. And we can be a great example, or we can be a miserable example, for which people turn to each other in the break room and say, man, is that what a Christian looks like? Is that what a Christian does when the machine locks up on a Monday? Is that a Christian? Or man, did you see how when that machine locks up like it literally does every week, how they responded with grace or patience or kindness or understanding? The world sees people as representatives of the Lord, and our work is an opportunity for us to be that. C.S. Lewis in The Problem of Pain says, we are not like metaphorically, but in very truth, a divine work of art. So for many of us, if right now I handed you a little paintbrush and said, I would love you to paint me a beautiful work of art. If you were like me, you would say, I hope you like tic-tac-toe. Because I can paint you tic-tac-toe, and that's about the end of it for me. That's about as creative as I can be with a paintbrush. So as we reflect on bearing God's image and how God is a worker, and therefore we are also given the blessing of work, and I say he's creative and purposeful in his work, then you have to begin thinking, now, how could I possibly be creative in my work? Maybe it's helpful to think of a farmer who earlier this week, he really needed a part. And upon trying to acquire the part, he finds out, guess when the part arrives? Next Thursday. But he needs the part this week because the rain is coming. And the crops have to get out of the field before they get wet and start to mold. And so the farmer becomes creative. That's why some people will say this farm is held together by what? Baling wire and bubblegum. Or WD-40 and duct tape. We solve these problems we encounter at work creatively, and that bears the image of God to a people who may or may not know him. We are creative and purposeful in our work that reflects God's character. But we see that something that work was done by the Lord before we were ever on the scene, it resulted in us, and then he brings us into this. He gives us this dominion mandate. He gives us the opportunity not only to have dominion, but also, it's said, to multiply. So I want you to think about how this works over time. God invites us to be creative workers. He invites us specifically through a command to multiply and have dominion. And what we're invited to do is create life that bears his image. I think I just heard life. Did you guys hear some of that life? I heard some young life in the nursery. The result is the whole planet begins to bear his image as we carry out that multiply and dominion mandate. Now, the Lord's work is creative and it's purposeful, so we are therefore purposeful and creative in our work. Now, I want to admit right up front, not every job is fun. Work is not always a jolly good time. It's not always exciting. It's not what you dream about doing is not what you often are doing on Monday. So I'm not saying that your job is irrelevant or unimportant. I am saying that your job can be frustrating. And even though you have to go to it very frequently, I'm saying we have an opportunity there when we encounter that difficulty to remain a faithful image bearer in spite of the disaster that we encounter. That is our reflecting his character. Jesus was the perfect image of God, and he was known for his work. John puts it this way, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now," and Georgetown, say it with me, "I am working." Now, this moment, John is describing Jesus' ministry, his teaching or preaching or healing or caring for the sick. But there was another kind of work that Jesus did before this. Look at Mark. Now, Mark is telling us about Jesus' hometown, where Jesus went to preach. And this is what Mark says the people of his town are saying. Is this not the carpenter? See, the people know him. They recognize him. When they hear his teaching, they don't think, oh, look, it's the teacher. They think it's the carpenter. So they remembered him for his work. Not necessarily his ministry work yet, but still the work that he probably, like any other young boy at that time, learned from working alongside his father. In the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, Jesus is depicted as making a table. And his mom calls from the other room, "Jesus, are you hungry?" And he says, "Yes." And that's just like you and I. If we were working hard on something, eventually we would be hungry because of our work. Now, that's, of course, like an extrapolation of what we have here in Mark with what we know about culture in Jesus' time. But this word carpenter is a Greek word tekton, and it could be translated in this range of meaning that's like artisan, craftsman, it could be woodworker, it could be builder. Whatever it is, the people recognized Jesus as one of those tektons. It wasn't just the guy who confronted Pharisees. It wasn't just the guy who healed people or taught. In fact, up to that point, he was only the guy who was the tekton, the carpenter, the artisan, the craftsman, the builder. Jesus learned this from mirroring what his family was doing. It's important for children to learn how to work as they become image bearers of God, just like you and I became image bearers of God. And if your children are already out of the house, you don't get to hit pause right now. You don't get to take a brief snooze. So are you still with me? You got to stay with me through this, even if you don't have kids in the house. Children, I'm still a children to my parents, my father. We need repeated exposure. Over and over, we need to see what it looks like to do an honest day's work, to work hard, to work with integrity, to do what we said we would do, to produce what we are counted on to produce, to accurately then reflect the image of God. And not just because I have bills and you have bills, but because as Christians, we're known as, just like Jeff said, representatives. Paul's word, but Jeff used it well this morning. So when a children are young, they can learn to maybe unload the dishwasher. Hopefully you've got Goodwill dishes when they're first learning. They can learn to unload the dishwasher, fold the towels. Maybe they can pick up leaves in the yard with you. But as they grow, maybe they can join by mowing the yard or cleaning out the gutter or cooking the meal or doing the laundry for someone. Jesus likely learned his father's trade the same way that you would teach your child to unload a dishwasher. Both Jesus and the Father work creatively and purposefully. And remember, Jesus perfectly reflects the image of his Father. And what is he known for? He's known first for his work as a tekton. He's known first for his work as a carpenter. And because they know him as the carpenter, they come to listen to his teaching when he is known later for his work of teaching, preaching, healing, and caring for the sick. Now, Jesus perfectly reflected the image of God. And he still had some bad days, just like you, just like me. Consider all the encounters Jesus had with Pharisees. Pharisees always wanted to come against his work. Consider the encounters he had with the guys who followed him around every day, his disciples, who still didn't get it after years. The AP News popped up on my phone last night, and the headline made me tap on it. The headline was, "One monkey recovered, 42 still on the run." So you have to tap on a headline like that, am I right? So I tap, and I'm like, where are the monkeys? I mean, they want to know where the monkeys are too. But I tap on the headline, and like two or three sentences, you know, down, it's one of 43 monkeys that escaped a compound, and here's the key, in South Carolina. And I'm thinking, okay, not Louisville, not Southern Indiana. I don't have a monkey attack. Unlikely to have any monkeys jumping on my bed. Imagine being this PR person for this company. The macaws made a break for it on, hold on to your seats, Wednesday. I got this alert on Saturday. This person just holding it together. Please, God, find the monkeys. Find the monkeys. And finally, they have to like call the news and say, we can't find the monkeys. We found one monkey. We are missing 42 monkeys. Our work is not always fun. It's not always exciting. In fact, many times it's a pain in the neck. You get the stress right there, and you're just sick of it. But that is the time when you and I have the opportunity to remain aware that we're image bearers. And as image bearers, we're representatives of the Lord in the way that we respond to losing 42 of your 43 monkeys. So whether your work is somewhere in the marketplace or maybe it's at home, our working environment, it's important to remember, is literally cursed. So when you go to work tomorrow, you're like, oh my gosh, what a Monday. Everybody else is living in the same environment you are. It's cursed. I'm sure you've felt this. If in the spring you try to start a weed eater, or maybe in the spring you try to weed a garden, or at literally any time of the year you dig a hole for a fence post with a post hole digger, you know that dirt is cursed. You know that your very work is cursed. The earth is cursed. Jesus said, moth and rust also destroy. And in heaven they won't, but for now they do. We live in an environment that is living under the curse of sin, and yet work is still a blessing. Some of you came here straight off of a third shift, and you're thinking, I'm not feeling very blessed. I understand. Work also takes it out of you. But remember, our work is cursed. Here's how Scripture says it. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you should not nudge your wife right now. Because you've listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. So with this curse comes all of the difficulty that you and I both experience. When you're teaching, it's students who want to not listen or turn in homework or try. When you're going to work with machinery, it's stuff that worked perfectly fine for a first shift, and on your shift, somehow, it's exploding. No idea why, but I'm telling you why. It is right here. It's answered by Scripture, and that is that everything that we work with, not only is our work itself cursed, work is not a curse, but our work is cursed. Furthermore, the very earth, the dirt, the materials from which our junk is made, it is cursed. That means when there's famine or disease or a broken land or broken people, or when birth itself is broken, that should be a reminder to us that sin destroys. It should remind us of the cost of sin. Tim Wolfe was teaching men's Bible study. This was 2 weeks ago and last week also, but 2 weeks ago. And he was talking about when he saw something, I think like Glacier National Park, something like that. And he was witnessing the majesty of God. And he's thinking, this is amazing. How incredible is God? And then this was his point. Remember, this is the broken version. This is the jacked up, not like it's supposed to be, cursed and damaged edition. This isn't even what it's supposed to look like. The earth is cursed, but that doesn't mean that work is not a blessing. It's a reminder that sin has a cost. This last week, we were getting a metal fascia replaced on our home after the roof was replaced as a consequence of sin. That was hail and wind that damaged our roof. And the guys were sick on Friday, so they had to work Saturday. Some of you know how frustrating this is. They're working Saturday, they finish the job, and they're backing the truck up to the trailer when all of a sudden the driveway is full of oil. And they're working on a Saturday, and they're already sick, and they're like, dude, what just happened? We don't know what happened, but their truck was so broken, they had to get another truck. Our work is cursed. But let that curse be a reminder of the cost of sin and be an opportunity for you and I to bear witness to our Creator, to be image bearers, to be, as Jeff said, as Paul said, representatives of God. How do we live under this curse of sin as image bearers? Paul says it this way, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Work as though you're working for the Lord. Let the curse remind you. Let the work remind you of the curse of sin and its cost. And let the curse remind us each of the hope that we have in Jesus. When you experience tomorrow as the Monday that it is, when you go to work and are reminded we're under a curse, remember that sin brought destruction and work is a blessing. Our work is an opportunity while we're here to bear the image of a good God to people that are far away from Him. Consider that they're under the same curse that you and I are under. But we are under that curse as image bearers. People who, if we've accepted Christ, do not live under the power of sin, but we still live under its curse. If you've trusted Jesus, you have hope. I hope that while you're working, you live like it. Live as one who has hope that is beyond this world. Hope that is not in my day going well and stuff not going wrong, but in a person, a perfect image bearer of our Father. That person is Jesus Christ. Our work may or may not be a reflection of the character of a good God. But work is a blessing, not a curse. This morning, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you can find out more at Next Steps, or you can join me down front. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of work. Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful representatives. When today and tomorrow are just like a Monday, filled with the frustration of living under the curse of sin. Father, may we be mindful that sin has a great cost and that you have given your Son as payment for that cost. Father, help us to be faithful representatives as your image bearers. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,